Some of you know I love hymns by Charles Wesley. So it's always seemed natural to me that Wesley hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, would be my favourite carol. But you know, it's not as simple as that, because the hymn that we sing today is different in both words and tune to the one which was written in 1739 by Charles Wesley. Now, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I wrote my first poem. I think it was probably my last poem as well, you'll be glad to hear. But I'm sure you'd like me to recite it for you. It went like this. I have a little pussycat, his name is Eddie. He sits upon the mat, and he is well-feddy. Well, recognising my latent talent, my teacher was encouraging, but did suggest a slight change to the last line. So the poem became, I have a little pussycat, his name is Eddie, he sits upon the mat until his dinner's ready. I graciously accepted his advice, and that became the final version of my poem. My teacher may have tweaked the last bit, but it was still my poem. Although looking back, I am compelled to accept that, although it was a little tweak and it only altered the last line, it did make a bit of a difference to the poem. Well, it was a bit like that with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Wesley's hymn originally started, Hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Now, I'm sure you all know what a welkin is, but just in case, it's a word for the heavens. And it was a friend, a colleague of Wesley, an evangelist colleague called George Whitfield, who tweaked the first two lines to Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. And there were several other little changes made by Whitfield and also later by a clergyman called Martin Madden. Also, Wesley's original hymn had 10 verses, each made up of 4 lines. And these 10 verses of 4 were paired up to make 5 verses of 8 lines. And the opening couplet was also added as a refrain. So between the verses we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Now you'll notice that of these 5 verses, the final 2 are often dropped to leave us with the 3-verse hymn that we'll be singing today. Well, the difference between Wesley and me was that while I was quite happy to accept the change that my teacher had made to my poem, Wesley wasn't at all happy about the changes made to his hymn. Possibly because the Bible makes no mention of angels actually singing their message. So this first line, ironically, is the only line which isn't evidenced directly by Scripture. You can check it out in Luke 2, verse 13. But not only were the words changed, the original tune was different as well. The one which we sing is based on a tune written by Mendelssohn, not for the hymn, but actually to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the invention of the printing press. So the tune was written about 100 years after Wesley had written his words. Mendelssohn had made it clear that under no circumstances was this tune that he'd written to be used for any sacred hymn. But he conveniently died, and in 1855, William Cummins put the altered words of Wesley's hymn to Mendelssohn's tune. And that's how it brings us the hymn that we sing today. So why did I choose it as my favourite? Well, I became a Christian when I was about 30 years old. And when I sung this hymn during my first Christmas as a Christian, the familiar words that I'd sung the previous years were suddenly filled with meaning. God and sinners reconciled. It hit me when I sung those words on my first Christmas, how extraordinary and wonderful it was to be reconciled with God. Now my life had meaning. Now my life had purpose. Wesley had been a Christian for less than a year when he wrote these words. And someone once said the inspiration of his newly made contact with God was still fresh. And I think that's what resonated with me, my newly made contact with God. It's been said that good Christian music uplifts the soul and turns the heart towards God, and that the hymns that do this are the ones which speak scriptural truths throughout. And this isn't just a carol that just tells a nativity story. The whole hymn is packed with scriptural truths, not just trundled out as facts, but proclaimed exuberantly. And I've produced a little sheet where each line is actually referenced to bits of scripture. Make a good Bible study, actually, but you'll have to supply your own magnifying glass, I'm afraid. Or you could look on the website. I put it on the website as well. But to me, that's what really makes this hymn so special for me, this exuberant proclamation of so much Bible truth that applies to each one of us, to me, and to you. It's a great set of words and a great tune. I loved singing it on my first Christmas as a Christian. You know what? I still love singing it today.